From the campus of Winston-Salem State University, welcome to WSSU Future Focus. Everything Winston-Salem State University. And now your host, WSSU Chancellor Elwood Robinson.
And welcome to Future Focus Now. We're glad you're with us. Thanks for joining us. You're joining us tonight on a very special night. I have some great guests with me, and we're going to talk about Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday, charitable day all across this country, all across the world. People have decided to give on this day. Just like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday has become so much a part of the American experience. And so tonight we'll talk about giving. We'll talk about philanthropy. We'll talk specifically about giving and philanthropy to HBCUs, but also all universities across this country. And so we thank you for joining us. I have some wonderful guests. The guests tonight are amazing in their own right. I could spend an entire show telling you about these amazing individuals that we have on Future Focus. They have taken time out of their busy, busy schedules to come and sit down with us and have a conversation about giving to HBCUs in particular, but giving and making sure that you have a charitable donation today. Our first guest, we have guests all over. My first guest is Dr. Shabbah Day Grady. She is a graduate from Winston-Salem State University in 2005. If anyone knows about HBCUs, it is Dr. Day, a three-time HBCU graduate, a graduate from the illustrious, as the students on Winston-Salem State campuses, how they say the illustrious Winston-Salem State University, getting her undergraduate degree, then moving a little bit down the road a piece and getting a master's degree from North Carolina Central University, and then heading back this direction, back towards Winston-Salem State University as to North Carolina A&T State University, where she is a pioneer and a legend at such a young age, becoming the first female computer science PhD graduate from North Carolina A&T State University. She's an ambassador. She's an entrepreneur. She is service to her community. We'll get into all of that, but we'll get a chance to hear from her about her HBCU experiences and how that has shaped what she does today. And we have Bobby and Patricia Norris, Robert Norris. If you ever think about the quintessential power couple, it is the Norrises. If you come to Winston-Salem, then you won't have to go very far before you hear about these two legends, these two folks who give so much to this community. We have Robert Norris, a retired financial executive. He spends so much time in the community giving. The man can't give enough. I don't know why he keeps giving. And then he is married to Patricia Norris. Pat Norris is a legend. We still call her at Winston-Salem State University Chief Norris. She retired a little while ago after serving for so many years and then coming from the city where she was the first female police chief, African-American police chief in Winston-Salem. So we have Dr. Day, who was a first. We got Pat Norris, who was a first. We have two amazing women who are setting standards in terms of what it means to be female and what it means to be great in this country, the Norrises, the quintessential power couple. And then we have with us Terry Griffin, graduate from Winston-Salem State University in 1979. He graduated in the next, he was a retired executive from Altria, where the wine and tobacco industry, where he served as sales representative in Chattanooga, then moved to Atlanta, then moves to head of operations in Florida. If you come to Winston-Salem State University, you will see him all over the place. He volunteers. He coaches tennis. He serves on boards, on the foundation board. He is inducted into the Winston-Salem State University Hall of Fame. He is a legend in his own right. Terry Griffin joins us tonight. And then we have with us the Vice Chancellor for Advancement at Winston-Salem State University, Dr. Latanya Afalayan, who has been with Winston-Salem State University since 2018 after serving in a variety of capacities at several universities in this state, beginning at North Carolina Central University, Norfolk State University, Appalachian State University. Now she is at Winston-Salem State University, where she serves as Vice Chancellor for Advancement. So this is a stellar crew. It's an all-star crew. If we want to have a conversation about the importance of HBCUs, I can't think of five people who can certainly have that conversation. So welcome all of you. Welcome everybody to Future Focus Now. Thank you for joining us tonight. How are you? How's everybody? Dr. Grady, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad to see you. I can see all your degrees behind you. I applaud you. I bow in your presence. Thanks for joining. Terry, how are you, man? How you doing?
Doing fine, Chancellor. So happy to be on your show and be a part of this esteemed panel. Thanks for having me tonight.
We are so glad to have you. The Norrises. Did I get it right? The quintessential power couple. How y'all like that?
How do you like it?
We like it and we don't like it. But we're so happy to be a part of this. This really have made my day.
Yeah.
To see the distinguished people that you have put in place is just an honor to be a part of it.
We're glad to have you. Pat, you doing okay?
I'm doing great. Just happy to be here. Glad to see everybody.
Man, glad to see everybody. Thank you. You guys hold on for just a second. Let me bring Vice Chancellor for Advancement in Dr. Afalayan. Dr. Afalayan, this is Tuesday. This is Giving Tuesday, a day of giving. Tell us a little bit about this day. How did it come about? And what are we doing at Winston-Salem State University on this day of giving?
So, sir, thank you for having me this evening, and welcome to all of our guests and our alumni. Giving Tuesday started as a national holiday, a way to support nonprofit organizations and higher education. And so at Winston-Salem State University, the first Tuesday in December has always been designated as Giving Tuesday. We started speaking with our donors this morning around 9 a.m. The call center is open until midnight for those who have not made a commitment to this wonderful university. And so we have a team of volunteers consisting of alumni, members of the chancellor's leadership team are there, or they've been there this evening. When I left, Chief Henry was there, Letitia Wall was there. They're all answering phones and making calls to our alumni and friends who've not made a commitment since the beginning of the fiscal year. So it is a national holiday. We had a lot of National Day of Giving, a lot of competition, but we also know that members of the Ramilly, they are strong, they are passionate, and they give back. So we're doing really well. We could do a little bit better this evening, but we're going to keep going until midnight. And I thank all of our donors for your support. Everyone has called already today to make a commitment. So thank you all.
Yeah. So one of the things that I talk about and I tell folks, this is an interesting time. And we know it's an interesting time. We also know it's a very difficult time for a lot of folks, having to manage during a pandemic. And a lot of people are hurting. But at the same time, we ask folks to consider giving. You don't have to give a lot, but we actually just want folks to give anything that helps. One of the things that we're trying desperately to do at Winston-Salem State University and also as universities around the country, but particularly HBCUs around the country, and that is to get alumni to give back. That's why we're going to get into a great conversation in just a moment with some alums. But it's important that they give, not how much they give, but just that they give, because that translates into something called our alumni giving rate. Can you tell our audience what that is and why that's so important to an institution?
Sure, thank you. So the alumni participation rate is it's a key indicator nationally that lets people know how alumni value that institution. So typically, we're looking at an alumni participation rate of about 10%. We have 31,000 alumni at Winston-Salem State. So if, 3,000 of those alums gave back between July 1 and June 30th, we count according to a fiscal year, then our APR would be around 10%. Last year, it was at 6.15%. It was in the lowest of all of the HBCUs, state HBCUs in North Carolina. So we aspire to reach at least a minimum of 10%, but I'd love to be at 18% by June 30th. I do have some good news to report this evening. Last year, at the same time, we had 656 alumni who had given back to the university since July 1. This year, we are at 1,600 alumni who've already given back since July 1. So we've almost tripled our number. So we have a long way to go, and we will encourage our alumni and friends to call us. But the alumni participation rate is really important when you're talking with our friends and corporations and businesses. They look at the number of alumni who give back because that really indicates the significance or the value of the educational experience that that graduate has had and how they value that experience. And so it's a key indicator when we're meeting with representatives of corporations and foundations. They typically ask, well, what's your APR? Because they want to invest in an institution where alumni really value that experience. And so that is a key indicator. And we aspire to reach our 10% goal, hopefully more, by June 30th. And I know some of our listeners out there this evening have not called us. And we ask you to call this evening until midnight. You can call right now at 336-750-2330. We have a text to give app called Mobile Calls. You can text 20-WSSU-GT to 71777. No gift is too small. I did a little bit of calculating this evening. We have 31,000 alumni. Sir, if our alumni gave $50, 31,000 of them, we will have raised, or would have raised, or may raise $1.5 million. $50 from every graduate of Winston-Salem State University. If we go up to $75, that's $2.3 million. $100 would be $3.1 million. So it's a great investment in the academic aspirations of our students. We have many first-generation students. Many come from homes where they don't have the resources, or the families don't have the resources to invest in their educational experience. If everyone just gives a little, we can make a difference in the lives of our students. They go out into the world and they serve as advocates and ambassadors of Winston-Salem State, and they transform the communities they live in. So it's a worthwhile investment. You get a great return on the investment, and we love talking to donors and prospective donors about Winston-Salem State.
We really do. We love telling the Winston-Salem State University story, and we've been telling that story loud. We've been telling that story clearly. And the word is getting out. People now know the value of getting a degree from Winston-Salem State University. They know when they come here, they get a job in a reasonable amount of time, and they go out, and 6 months after graduation, they're employed, making a salary anywhere between $42,000 and $45,000 a year. That has been the trend over the last several years. That is why over the past 3 years, we have been listed as one of the top universities in this country, according to Best Value by Money Magazine, the very prestigious Money Magazine. Last year, we, of course, were the number one public HBCU in the country by Money Magazine. This year, we are number two, and we're glad to share that space with our neighbor down the road, North Carolina A&T State University, even on this day, because this day is about giving. I don't mind mentioning North Carolina A&T State University, but this is the last time that I would do that as we move on to say we want you to give to Winston-Salem State University today. Thank you so much. We'll get back to you in just a moment. I'm going to begin with the alum that has the longest longevity on this call. I'm going to call on him first, because he's been around the longest in terms of a 1979 graduate who has gone on to have a stellar career and now has retired. Terry, take us through a little bit about your HBCU experience, why it's valuable, why it's important to you, and then how it, impacted your trajectory in terms of the, you know, the business and the community and industry that you served in.
Hello, everybody. Thank you again, Chancellor, for having me. So I matriculated to Winston-Salem State University from Kannapolis, North Carolina in 1975. And during that period, I probably went home maybe once, twice in 4 years. So what that meant to me is that when I left and came to Winston-Salem State University, I didn't see any reason to go anyplace else. Hmm. I just love that college experience. I still think about it today. The friends that I've met are still friends of mine today. We keep in close contact frequently. I learned so much at that institution. When I think about the work that I put into it, it had a lasting impact on how I conducted myself through corporate, being in corporate America. Words cannot express the amount of attention that was given to detail of being a student at that university, so much that it led me to every phase throughout my career. Within my career, I've held several positions from sales management to compliance to operations, and every step of the way was led by my experience at Winston-Salem State University. Also, being at Winston-Salem State University is where I learn to give and how important giving is to that university and to HBCUs. When I was there, I believe 85% of the students was on some type of financial aid. And, I don't think that's even changed today. So with that said, my experience is based on the shoulders of those who came before me. I also came to the realization that although I may not have paid a lot of money to be at that university, someone had to. It wasn't exactly a free experience. It was an experience based on somebody giving. If it wasn't tax dollars, it was my uncles and my aunts, my friends giving me $5, $10, $50 every time I saw them on campus. So with that in mind, I felt a sense of obligation, and that's why every day I think about what I can do and how I can give back to enhance someone's experience as mine was during my years at Winston-Salem State University.
Terry, I tell you, that's a powerful story. You graduated in 1979. You and I are contemporaries. Was there a better time to be on a college campus than the late 70s? I mean, that was just a great time, wasn't it? I know Dr. Grady over there, she's like, I don't know about that. But that was a great time, right? The music, no. Right? The music.
Yeah, I don't think Dr. Day had the experience of the mothership being landed on WSSU. You know what I mean? Yeah, right. The mothership.
That's right.
I don't even know if she know what the mothership is.
No,
but
she has no idea what you're talking about. She doesn't know anything about funk. I mean, don't. Let's not even go there. I mean, that's great. I heard you talk about 85% of the students on financial aid today at Winston-Salem State University. About 70% of our students are what are called Pell eligible, which means that they come from families that have under-resourced, come from families that make less than $50,000, certainly less than $75,000 a year. And so it's challenging when you, if you go to school and you come out of a family like that. One of the greatest pieces of data that I've had since being chancellor at Winston-Salem State University was when I first got to campus and I received a list of students who had completed almost 90% of their coursework and were with us in the fall and did not return in the spring. And they needed just a little bit to get them to the end. And what we have seen is that we take those students who need just a little bit to finish, sometimes not a lot of money, sometimes $500, sometimes $1,000, just to get them to the end. And we have this concept that we talk about, you know, partway home or almost home scholarships. We've given out over the past 3 years about 165 of those. And I think I'm right, about 163 have graduated, which is an amazing statistic. And it tells you with just a few dollars how you can make a difference in the lives of students. Thank you, Terry, for pointing that out. I'm going to move now to Dr. Grady, who certainly was a student, 05. Did I get that right? An 05 right. Graduate. So you come at the turn of the century. You were at Winston-Salem State University. Take us through, talk about your experience, not only at Winston-Salem State, but your HBCU experience throughout, landing you in this unprecedented space as being a pioneer, as being one of the first at North Carolina A&T State University.
Yeah, so Winston-Salem State invested in me because I actually started before my class. There was a program called MSLP, Minority Science and Outreach Program, which was a grant. It was a professor there named Dr. Sharma, and I was a part of that outreach program. And so I basically got a chance to start classes before everyone else the summer, before the fall semester. And so I started off ahead of everybody else with those college credit hours. And because of that, I learned a lot. In K through 12, I was in, you know, majority schools, and this was my first time being at a predominantly Black university. And the experience was overwhelming in all of the best ways. I felt nurtured. I felt loved. I felt cared for by Dr. Elva Jones, Dr. Caldwell, so many people in the Department of Computer Science. They literally took me under their wing and invested in me. They gave me the confidence to feel secure that I knew what I was doing. And if I didn't know something, that I had the ability to go find out how to do it. And so I think just being at Winston-Salem State University, having that nurturing environment, which is why we all love homecoming, because it's like family coming back together. That definitely was the catalyst that made me want to go beyond just the undergraduate level. Also, with that being said, Dr. Jones was so key in me wanting to do more, because when I was there, all the computer science classes started off in Carolina Hall, and then she got this building named after her. And I had never met anyone that was alive and had a building that was named after them. And they worked in that building. And
it's still hard for me even today. even when I see her, I don't know how you go to work in a building that's named after yourself.
Right. Yeah. It's surreal. And, you know, I remember being there for the groundbreaking ceremony, the ribbon cutting when it first opened. And I just think that was a moment where I was like, wow, some amazing things can happen sometimes in life. And so that was my Winston-Salem State experience, being just a full-time student. And I had opportunities from my department where I got to be a lab assistant. I also got to be a mentor for one of Dr. Jones' programs from a grant that she had. So I got to invest in other students, and that was a phenomenal experience. Once I graduated and I moved on, I actually worked at North Carolina Central University, and there was the program there that I was really interested in. And so I decided to do that program while I was there. But working full time and going to school full time, you have a big difference in experience than you do when you're just a full-time student. But it was still a great experience. I still had that same type of atmosphere where the professors really tried to help me all that they could, pour their knowledge into me and share opportunities. And I had a professor there that constantly nudged me to pursue PhD. And so while I was working at North Carolina Central, I actually would take classes to stay engaged with my field. And then I decided to apply to North Carolina A&T. And one of the reasons why I was doing HBCUs because I just had such a great experience at all of them. I said, why does it have to stop? And then once I got to North Carolina A&T, I was blessed when I was there. I had the chancellor's scholarship there where they paid for all of my schooling while I was still getting my PhD. And I can't even tell you how much of a blessing that was. And when I was there, it was the same feeling again, everybody pouring into me, nurturing me and developing me. And because of all of those experiences, when I left and graduated, you know, I had the confidence in myself to do what I needed to do in my field. And that's why I decided that I wanted to actually work at HBCU, because a lot of people, even though it's a majority or predominantly Black, that doesn't mean that everyone there is Black. And being a professor in computer science, normally those professors are not Black. And so it really means something to be that representation at my university for the students so they can have a visual representation of someone that looks like them so that they too can know they can do it, just like I had Dr. Jones and Dr. Caldwell and so many others, because it really does make a difference when you can see yourself in someone else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's beautiful. That's powerful. That's what HBCUs are about. And I'm wondering, Terry, whether you had that experience as well. I had Dr. Greg Carr on my show a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about, you know, the HBCU experiences, and we really started talking about some of the great professors, the legendary professors at these schools, and how they poured their heart into their students. And he asked me at the time, because I went to North Carolina Central, he asked me if I knew Helen Edmonds. Like, Helen Edmonds was a legend. So the classroom building was named after Helen Edmonds. And he said, wow, you knew Helen Edmonds. He says, that means I'm talking to Helen Edmonds, you know. And so I think he's talking about the legacy, you know, that goes on. So I'm sitting here, I'm talking to Elva Jones, because that's your mentor. And that's the history and the legacy of these institutions and what they brought in. I'm sure you had those kinds of experiences as well. I'm going to get to Pat and Bobby. Pat, you are a different kind of student, a non-traditional student. You come to Winston-Salem State University. Tell us how you got and why you decided to come to Winston-Salem State University.
I started out as a traditional student. When I graduated from high school here in the city, I decided to go to Winston-Salem State. And I did, and I happened to be one of those students that you were talking about earlier, Chancellor, that didn't have the money to continue. So I had to go to work, and I did, and I became a police officer. So while I was being a police officer, of course, I had the ambition to go back to school because that was my goal, to go back and complete my 4-year degree. So as I continued to climb within the ladder of the police department, I got back in school in the 80s, 86, I believe it was. And I started out taking one or two classes, and I did. And it got to the point where I said, I'm really ready to graduate. So my last semester, I took 15 hours working full time, working rotating shifts, and I about died. But I got it done, and I graduated in 93. So again, because of my degree from Winston-Salem State, that helped me to become chief of police for the city. So after my retirement from the city, I was asked to come to Winston-Salem State to be chief of police there. And I had to think about that for a minute, but best decision I ever made, because then I got to participate on campus in a different way. I actually got to work with the students to see where they were coming from and some of the challenges that they were facing, and to figure out a way that I could help them get to the point to where I was. So that became a big challenge for me. And it really did help me see where they were coming from, to provide some assistance to them, whether it was mom's conversation into what they need to be doing.
Absolutely. No. Look, I appreciate you, Pat. You know, you're putting it mildly, but I mean, here I want to point out the value of the HBCU experience. It is about the people that are there. It's more than just the professors. It's about the folks who work in the offices. It's about the chief of police. Everybody becomes part of your life and becomes part of the family that helps raise you. Some of my greatest thrills have been riding around campus with you, Pat, as you mentor young ladies about their dress and their appropriateness and how they might want to go back to their dorm room, maybe change. But you could say that. But those are the kinds of things that we remember. And I don't know whether it was like that for you, Terry, but I think about my experience at North Carolina Central. It was people like Pat Norris, you know, people who were on the grounds that came up to me and mentored me. Did you have that kind of experience as well, Terry?
Of course. I can remember one instructor, my business instructor. I was a business major, Dr. Karshipi. He wasn't only an instructor, but he was a father figure. So he was quick to put you in your place when you were doing something wrong. And then my experience in Brown Hall, Dean Benson, remember him from today. He was a great mentor. You had the experience of working with people that actually been where you were that day. And there was no surprises, right? So it was just like being around family members, and also had the opportunity of having uncles and aunts that matriculated before me. So I kind of had the advantage of knowing what to expect at Winston-Salem State University. In fact, I've had so many relatives attend Winston-Salem State University. The second name of the university is Griffin University. So.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it was a terrific experience, and that's one of the reasons why I owe so much to Winston-Salem State University. And there is probably no amount that I could pay that I right now can afford to pay that I wish I could pay to pay for my experience I had there. And that's why I work any chance I get an opportunity. Anytime someone reaches out to me to do something at the university, I'm more than happy to do it.
You know, you are as well. I think if I had about maybe 10, 15 more Terry Griffins, I think we'd be well far ahead than we are now. I want LaTanya, take us through. There's so many ways to give to the university. And I'm going to have you take us through your interaction with the Norrises and Robert Norris. And he did something really amazing recently. But tell us how can we give scholarships? Take us through the whole number of ways we can give.
Well, we certainly value every gift, as I stated earlier. So always an annual commitment to the university of any amount between July 1 and June 30th is greatly appreciated, and we invest those resources in our students. Some of our donors and friends decide to set up an annual scholarship where they designated to a student with a specific major perhaps a specific grade point average. And that's an annual commitment that a donor makes, and we can name that fund for the donor or in memory or in honor of someone. And then we have our endowed scholarships, and those resources are set aside. The principal is set aside, but each year the principal is earning interest, and we utilize the interest income from our endowments to award scholarships. And at Winston-Salem State University, the minimum for a scholarship, an endowed scholarship, is $25,000. So hypothetically, you could say that we, the foundation, guarantees right now a 4% return on that investment annually. So with $25,000, we would take the interest income of about $1,000 to award a scholarship annually to one student, or perhaps the donor wants us to award it to two students. The exact amount of the award, if it's $1,000, is given to that student, half for the fall semester and the other half for the spring semester. What's really amazing at Winston-Salem State University is that our donors actually get to interact with their students. Each year we host a donor reception or a donor luncheon or dinner that allows the scholarship donors to actually interact with the students who have benefited from their generosity. Every year we send out a stewardship report to our donors, notifying them of the student recipient or recipients of the scholarship, where they're from, and their major. We also require our students to write a handwritten thank you note to our donors so they can connect with the donor and understand how important it is that this donor has decided to invest resources in to help our students. So those are the types of scholarships: annual scholarships, endowed scholarships, or perhaps there are alumni and friends in the community who may not have the liquidity right now. They want to donate an asset to us. Perhaps it's real estate. Perhaps it is a gift of life insurance or the proceeds from their retirement account. We gladly can take those types of contributions and utilize those to establish endowments for those donors so that our students can begin to receive scholarship resources. We are very, very grateful. Last year, we had an amazing opportunity from some anonymous donors in the community who challenged us to raise $1 million from our alumni. And these donors agreed to match the monies if they were raised. It was called the Million Dollar Match. And the individuals you see here tonight were part of the Million Dollar Match. And we thank you all very much. But basically, we had scholarships, more than 50 scholarships were established under the match, but we were able to generate $1.6 million in resources, which were matched by these donors. And I can never say thank you enough to all of you here tonight and to those who are viewing the show and who've invested in our students at Winston-Salem State University, because those endowments will continue to generate resources beyond our lifetimes. So those endowment resources will exist at Winston-Salem State in perpetuity because only the interest will be utilized. So if there's anyone out there this evening who would like to invest in our students at Winston-Salem State, you can definitely give us a call this evening at 336-750-2330. If you don't have a gift to give tonight, but perhaps you have an insurance policy or you have some real estate that you've inherited, or you have a retirement account that you don't need, we will gladly take that and invest that in our students. Yeah. And again, if you'd like to give us a gift through our Text to Give app, you can text to give 20WSSUGT to 71777, or you can go online to wssu.edu/donate. And we will accept gifts beyond the day of giving. You can call us and we will meet with you at any time to talk about your investment at Winston-Salem State University.
Wow, you did that so well. I mean, that was fantastic. I'm ready to give. I need to give some more.
You know, I'll call you after the show. I'll call you to see.
I know you will. Don't call. Dr. Grady was talking about, you know, her mentor, Elva Jones, who has a building named after her. So from time to time, we get people who want to have naming rights to leave a legacy. And one of our guests tonight did that. So not only is there an Elva Jones building, there is a Patricia D. Norris building on campus. Dr. Alphaline, take us through that.
Yes, how did that come about? I have to go there and talk about that. That was an amazing feat, and we had to be very secretive because we didn't want Mrs. Norris to find out. So I had a phone call from Mr. Norris, and he wanted to know, and I think he had spoken with you earlier, Chancellor, of how do I get my wife's name on a building? I want to name a building in honor of my wife, and I don't want her to know about it. Yeah. So there were a couple of visits and conversations that we
had. Dr. Alphaline, I'll tell you, oftentimes, you hear people say this kind of stuff to you all the time. They come up to you and they say, I want to get a name. I want to name a building. And you say,
Well, he was serious, sir.
But Robert Norris was serious.
He was serious. And so we had a few meetings, and I talked with him about the way that he could. We talked about the public safety building, since that was where Mrs. Norris's office existed. And he liked the idea. He asked me to come over and talk with him. I shared the plan and the process for getting the building named. A resolution has to be developed and presented to the Board of Trustees to name a building in honor of someone. And that is voted upon by the members of the Board of Trustees. And so we were doing all of this without Chief Norris knowing. And then some of my colleagues actually had to make sure that Chief wasn't coming home for lunch, or that she wouldn't know that I had been visiting her at her home, because we were trying to keep it a secret. So we were able to do that with the help of our CFO and the chief of staff. So they made sure that Chief Norris stayed occupied on campus. Mr. Norris and I met. He signed the paperwork. He set up the commitment. He told me how he wanted to cover this commitment. And that was the beginning of it. And you saw the end of it on September 19th when we dedicated the police and public safety building in honor of Chief Norris.
Actually, one of the great moments for me, I think certainly a legacy for Chief Norris on our campus. Bobby, Mr. Norris, Robert Norris, I mean, take us through why that was important for you and why you wanted to do this for your wife.
Well, let me say that, I traveled a lot, and, the times that I wasn't here, she was doing just about everything. And I felt obligated to make sure that I did something nice for her, because, I was working at East Coast and the West Coast. And, I used to come home maybe on Friday night, and I'm leaving back out on Monday mornings. And through all that adversity, she never did get upset. She wanted me to do what I wanted to do. And I had in my head that I wanted to do something very special for her, because she's a special person in my life. So regardless of what it costs, I just want to make sure that it happened. Also, Chancellor, I have a lot of respect for you also for the things that you're trying to do there at Winston-Salem State University. You make people feel warm. You have a sense of things to say. And that resonated with me. And, that made me feel... let me say this here, and I'm gonna cut it short. in my lifetime, I've had the lows and the highs. And with me being a senior executive vice president of the largest black-owned insurance company in the United States, you have a sense of humor that you have to carry with you. Sure. And, with you, I was able to be down to earth. Mm-hmm. Out there, I had to be somebody that I wasn't, that was a blessing. So, and I just felt obligated to do that for my wife.
Yeah. Well, and a great job, certainly a legacy. I mean, will stand the test of time when you come on campus now, when you come to the Center Parter campus, but you will not have driven too far before you will see the Patricia D. Norris building. Pat, take just a moment and talk to us and tell us what this means to you.
Well, first of all, I had to get over this surprise. And I couldn't believe all of it happened, because I'm usually one of those people that stay on top of stuff, and nothing gets past me without me knowing about it. So when all of that took place and all of the pieces were in place, and at retirement it was announced that the building would be named after me, I was really, really shocked, happy, proud. I know he and I had talked about it a while back, but like I said, at the naming of the building, if anybody knows him, they know that it was going to happen. One way or another, he was going to make it happen. So I'm pleased, proud, and happy that our grandchildren could have something that they could be proud of as well.
Great. I can tell it means a lot to you. I can tell you're getting emotional. Pat, you know how we feel about you on campus, and certainly a great tribute to that. Dr. Grady, take us through. You have a scholarship. You set up a scholarship. Why did you set up the scholarship? And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I set it up because as a professor, and also, I've been a student three times, as you know, when you can just focus on school and not have to worry about the financial, that is a huge burden lifted. And I think artist students deserve that, to truly be able to focus on their studies and to take that off the table. So that's one reason why I did it. Another reason is because I used to be heavily involved with the Young Alumni Council. And being a part of the council when I was a leader there, I had an opportunity to kind of see behind the scenes what the process was. So those who don't know me probably felt like I was doing this all of a sudden, but I've been wanting to do this for a while. And when I talked to Dr. Ephelon last year and with the $1 million match, it just seemed like the right time for me to make that investment. And I'm happy that I did so, because my life is not just about me. You know, I'm not going to be here forever. None of us are. And it is about leaving something lasting behind. And so I'm happy that I can be a part of the WSSU legacy and invest in other students, so they don't have to worry about the finances. They can just focus on the education and go far beyond where I or anyone here today is. That's the goal.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Terry, your work, your scholarship, your benefit, you and Yvette, certainly do a benefit tennis fundraiser. You're in the Hall of Fame. I know athletics is important to you as well. Tell us about your philanthropy and your giving at Winston-Salem State University.
Well, I was born in a family of givers, to be quite frank. It wasn't necessarily financial, but I've always said, once I get in a position to give, I will. And that's why I continue to give today. I'm just a normal guy, but normal guys can do extraordinary things as well.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
So I didn't stop at the foundation. I wanted to do more. And so I love playing tennis. So what better way to give back by doing something that you love to do? And so it was the best thing to do. Every year for the past 3 years, my wife and I do a tennis benefit where we've raised over $60,000 for women's tennis. And I encourage everybody to think about their experience, particularly if you were part of that 85%, to reflect on what your life was like when you were at that university and didn't have to worry about your next meal or your next book. What that took, right? Someone had to give something to make that happen. And I want to be that person to give something to make that happen. It's a great feeling, right? To be able to put a smile on someone else's face, right? So that's why I do what I do. And I want to charge all of my friends, families, classmates, alumni, to just think back, right? And one more thing, oftentimes we'd come back from homecoming, we'd drive by and we look at the physical change the university has made over the years, and we say to ourselves, wow, that's nice. Well, I'm here to tell you, as being a part of the Foundation Board of Directors, it cost a lot. A lot of sacrifices have been made to change that physical appearance of that campus from when you were there to today. So keep that in mind. You know, for that next building, we might ask you for $5 or $10 to help us. It's just that simple.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I can tell you that we have an aggressive master plan, and that we're pursuing that plan, and we're going to continue to grow and build at Winston-Salem State University. You actually answered my last question. I was going to ask you, each of you, to tell our audience why we should give and encourage others to give. And I was going to give you 60 seconds. Terry, you don't have your 60 seconds because you used it. You did a great job. Thank you so much. Dr. Grady, take your 60 seconds.
You should give to Winston-Salem State because we want to continue this legacy. We want to continue what Simon Green Atkins started. And we have to do that by investing into this institution. If that's not a good enough reason for you, give because we need it.
Absolutely. We do need it, and the students need it. Pat, Bobby, why should people give to Winston-Salem State University and HBCUs?
I think they should give because, as Dr. Grady said earlier, students need to know that they can get that education without worrying about where that next book is coming from or where their next meal is coming from. So I think they need to give not only for the students, but to keep the legacy of the university going, so that others coming behind them can have an opportunity to get an education as well.
Yeah. And Bobby, how can we get others to do what you did?
Well, I think that the young lady that you have going out talking to people, she's doing an excellent job. Apollana, she's doing an excellent job. But let me say this here before I leave it. I want to shout out to Terry, one of my brothers. So I want to let him know that I'm shouting out to him right now. I forget it. Also, yeah, but no, I'm like Terry. I've been giving for a long time, you know, even here in Winston-Salem. I used to keep the kids while their parents was working in the evening, getting off late, teaching them how to play basketball. And at the end, I was giving them a trophy. And one young man told me, he said, "You forgot to give me a trophy." And I had to call down to the trophy store. And the store was closed, but the manager opened it up for me to go down and get that trophy to bring back to that young man. So I'm saying, I think that we need to just give. And we know that you might not have that much to give, but give what you can. And Black universities is we just got to give more than what we're doing. And, you know, we're going to be giving more. And that's all I can say.
Well, look, that's music to my ears. You know that. Dr. Apollon, closing remarks, take us through. This is Giving Tuesday. We're still just right before 9 o'clock. We still got 3 more hours.
3 hours, and we really need more support for our students because we really transform lives with our investments in these students. And as you said earlier, Chancellor, many of them are first-generation students. Their parents do not have the resources to invest in their academic aspirations. And we just need a little bit of help from everyone. So if everyone, even if it's your coffee money or your, you know, money for something else, a $5 gift would make a difference if 100 or 200 people gave $500. We want to continue to transform lives at Winston-Salem State and uphold the mission of Dr. Atkins. And so we need everyone's support. They can call us this evening until midnight at 336-750-2330. And if you can't call and you can't make a commitment today, we're always willing and available to speak with prospective donors. We have people in the community who've come forward to help this university, even in the midst of a pandemic. We have developed new relationships with people who care about our students, and they have established scholarship funds in the midst of a global pandemic. That says a lot. Our alumni are passionate, and I know that many of you are still out there who have not given, and I know how much the Ramley loves Winston-Salem State. So we're asking you to invest in our 5,100 students by calling us this evening. If you can't call this evening, you can call our offices tomorrow. Our office number is 336-750-2184. We will answer your call within 10 or 15 minutes if no one is available. We appreciate all of the support from alumni and members of the community, the foundations in our area. People all across the country are supporting Winston-Salem State, and they're looking at the great work that we're doing. So I ask you all to consider your impact and how you would transform a life by helping a deserving student at WSSU. I've worked at 8 universities during my career. 5 of them have been HBCUs. I am not a product of an HBCU. And why do I work at an HBCU? Because I see the transformation that occurs. I see the nurturing that occurs on a campus. And it's gratifying and fulfilling to help people understand how they can change a life with a gift, an annual gift, by establishing an endowment, by giving property to the university for an investment in an endowment or some other asset. But I work at this institution and institutions like this during my career, I've done this because they care, the faculty and staff at HBCUs, they nurture our students. It's not just a job. They invest in the students before and during and after class. It's a longstanding relationship. And as Dr. Grady stated, when people come back from homecoming, it's a huge family reunion. People interact with their former faculty members, their classmates, their fraternity and sorority, brothers and sisters. So it's a great institution. Winston-Salem State has probably been one of the most magnificent institutions where I've served throughout my career. And I do it, it's a labor of love because I care about the students. We all care about our students and the students are grateful. Finally, I'll say, we're trying our best to build a culture of philanthropy with our students. We have about 25 advancement ambassadors. We're educating them about philanthropy now. We want to start when they arrive on our campus talking about the importance of giving, the importance of service. Those students help us at events. They interact with our alumni and friends. We want to ask them also, they give an annual gift, but we're trying to educate them about the importance of giving back, not just to Winston-Salem State, but giving back in their communities. That's what this is all about. And that's why we do what we do.
Hello, we thank you. And I want to thank each of you. You have been amazing. You've been great guests. You're a testament to Winston-Salem State University, its legacy, its history, its tradition. We thank you for giving. And I thank you for being my guest tonight on Future Focus Now. And I ask you to join us again next week or a week after or sometime in the near future for another edition of Future Focus Now.